Last week, we talked about windows. And our challenge was to look out the windows in a different way. And I challenged you even to look out our own windows here. And I don't know whether you've thought of that, but hopefully as you drove out, you looked out the windows. If I can figure out how to open them. And hopefully you saw something different. Hopefully you saw something besides just an apartment complex or a neighborhood. But hopefully you saw a people that need Christ. And a people that need to be loved. And a people that are desperate to hear the gospel. And my prayer was that this week, on our hearts, as we looked out every window, the windows of our house, the windows of our car, the windows of our church, that we would see something different. That we would see something different. For part of the week, once I found the little windows that we did, I pulled the windows with the figures, the van stickers, into my office. And every day as I would go in, I would sit and read some of the names that you had put down and some of your initials and look at the pictures. And I could sort of tell the age of people that you were praying for. And it was good just to sit and pray for you and pray for those people that God has put on your hearts. And I pray that we don't forget it. We have that in the back again. If you weren't here last week or you didn't get an opportunity to do that, I encourage you at the end of the service to go back and take one of the little stickers and that represents someone that you want to see come to Christ. Someone that you have a heart for Christ. And don't put their name on it. We don't want to embarrass anyone, but put your own name or your own initials and just tape it to the window. And we're going to frame that. We're going to put that up somewhere to remind ourselves that that is our window to the world. That is who God has put on your hearts. And I ask you maybe somewhat selfishly, as you talk to those people and as God gives you divine appointments with those people, let me know. Send me a little note. Write me an email. There is something incredibly encouraging about coming together as a people of God, praying for each other, which we'll do as we pass by it, and then sharing stories of how God works. So that'll be in the back, and afterwards I encourage you to still participate in that, if you weren't here or weren't able to do that, as we look out our windows and see what God has for us. We've been going through a series on seeking God's vision for Village. And we talked through our vision statement and what each word meant. And then we broke that down into four broad purposes that we can pursue to accomplish our vision statement. And that was outreach and community and spiritual growth and ministry. And last week we talked about the outreach section. Today we want to move on and we want to talk about community. We want to talk about community. When I say the word connected, what comes to mind? What comes to mind for you? Connected.
A chain.
Okay, good.
Food.
Because we connect over food. Okay. Good connection.
Communication.
It's hard to feel connected without communication.
Emails.
Activities. Being together.
Accountability.
Absolutely.
Common
what?
Common purpose.
At first I thought you said comic books. And I couldn't figure that one out. A common purpose. Absolutely. These are things that bring us connections. These are things that bring us community. Have you ever been talking with somebody and in the middle of a conversation and just felt yourself not connecting? It's like you're asking every question you can think of. And you're digging as deep as you can, and maybe you're getting one word answers or every now and then a blank stare, and it's like, okay, how do I connect with this person? How do I connect? And so many times we try that and then we stop trying. And we sort of write that person off and write that relationship off as, well, I don't connect with them. I'll find people I do connect with. Because we can always find some people that have enough common interests and enough things that we relate with, that we can connect with. One of the things that I've noticed as we look at culture today is connecting, and connections is a huge concept. When I ask groups and when I talk to groups about what their desires are and what their needs are, the word connections always come up. I want to feel connected. And that's fascinating to me that there is such a thirst for connection in the age of so much technology. In the age where people are texting 3,000 times a month. Does that hit home with anyone here? In the age where we are emailing and on the phone, and you can see four friends walking down the street and they're all talking on the phone. My hope is that maybe with each other, but I doubt it. And we have such a thirst for connection, and we have tried as a culture to fill it in so many different ways that just aren't filling it. Because that's, quite frankly, not where God intended it to be filled. Not that those things are bad, but the idea of community and the idea of connection is a much deeper concept that God has designed into His people for how we can fulfill that need, how we can come together and be a community and have fellowship and be connected. This morning, as we talk about community and fellowship, it was a struggle to sort of figure out what to say. Because on one hand, the subject is so broad. But on the other hand, we've talked a lot about it this year. We've talked a lot about unity. We've broken apart Hebrews 10, 24, and 25, and we've talked about what it means to be a body and to encourage each other and to spur one another on to love and good deeds. And as we came to this section of our vision series, what do we do with it? Where do we go with it? And this morning, what I'd like to do is stay in a big picture, but also give some details and some practical ideas of how this can happen. And we're just going to work with a word study this morning. What is community? What is it in the Bible? And we're going to track it through the Bible in different verses. And specifically, we're going to take the word koinonia, which we often translate fellowship. And the Greek word koinonia, though, it's thrown around for fellowship and getting together and eating together, but the word is so much richer than that. The word means so much more than that. And so this morning, as we seek God's vision for Village, we'd like to look at the words that He chose to use and what the meanings of those are and how that has worked itself out in God's Word. Let's start with what koinonia, or what community, or what fellowship is not. What it is not. A couple things that are just sort of fun to think through. It is not just Christian social activity. When we think of let's have a fellowship night, what do we think of? Christian social activity. Let's play games, have some food, and let's do that. Now those are not bad, and my point in saying that isn't to say that's not part of fellowship, but that's not all of fellowship. Does that make sense? If that's all we ever did was get together and play games and eat food, that by itself would not be fellowship. And so when we talk about koinonia, and when God's Word talks about koinonia, it's more than just coming together. It's more than just talking about the baseball game, or the Olympics, or how we're doing. It's much deeper than that. Now, those are part of it. They contribute to fellowship. They contribute to community, but they do not define community. Second thing that it's more than just getting together and praying for each other. And so many times we contrast the fun with doing spiritual things together. And again, those are necessary, they are needed, they are good things, but they do not completely define community. It is good to ask the question, how has God been working? Yeah, I don't believe you can have community and fellowship in a church without asking questions like that. But it's got to go further. There's more to it than that. It's more than just what we do. It's more than just who we hang out with. It's more than just who we write a letter to. Fellowship in God's Word, community in God's Word is a much bigger picture. It's a much broader picture.
We'll look at a number of different verses. We'll start with Acts 2, 42, and that's a familiar one that we usually start with in fellowship. In fact, earlier this year, we heard a message on Acts 2. Acts 2, starting at verse 42. And Luke is writing here about the early church and what happened in the early church. And we read, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, which is the word koinonia, or a form of that word, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods, and gave to anyone as he had need. And that word fellowship is what we want to unpack today. That's what we want to explore as we look through Scripture and say, how is that used? What does he mean by they had fellowship together? It was obviously a key part of the early church. What does that mean? I'll read some of the definitions, and then we'll break it into four broad categories. The definition really has four senses. When we think of koinonia, it means to share in something, to participate in something. It's often translated fellowship or association or community, and we're using the word community in our four purposes. Communion, different idea than community. Joint participation. Koinonia means common in the sense of common ownership, common property, common ideas, etc. To share which one has in anything. Participation, contribution, intimacy, close relationship, involvement. As we get to the end of those words, those sound so appealing. Because that's what we're seeking. That's what we're thirsty for. An intimacy, an involvement, a close relationship, a sense of community. Something that we in the Western world struggle with, as we have become so individualistic. And Pastor Leroy talked about that a couple years ago when he compared a group-based culture to an individual-based culture. And the Jewish culture was very group-based, and you had the Essenes, who are a group that went off and lived together and ate all their food together, and that was a common thing that they thought in terms of group. And we think in terms of individual. God saved me versus God saved us. And the word for koinonia tries to capture the group idea. It tries to capture this idea that there is a sense of group, an identity as a group. As we explore the word koinonia, and in your notes, this is where you finally get to your notes. Up till now, it's just, you know, write wherever you want. We see two broad categories, and that's the A and the B there. We see two different ideas, and then within that, we see two different sub-ideas. And literally, the word koinonia means two things: to share in something, or to share with someone. And that's the A and the B. To share in something or to share with someone. And so many times when we think of community, we get the second part of that. To share with someone, to be with people. But the thrust of the word is also to share in something. To share in something. And I want to key off two of the words of the definition for this first part: participation and partnership. And as we explore the word, the first idea that comes with community, the first idea that comes with koinonia is we have something in common. We have something in common. If we had to stand up right now and find something we all had in common that was outside the spiritual realm, I mean, we could be broad and say we're all human beings, but something more specific, it would be difficult because we're all different people. And so many times in community, it's disrupted because we focus on our differences. But the word itself means to have something in common, to participate in something. And specifically, as believers and as the body of Christ, we have participated in, we have shared in the death and resurrection of Christ together. And that has to be first in our concept of community. This idea that we are community because of the work of Christ. If you watch TV or read the news or whatever, you always hear of these groups that get together after life-changing events. You know, a group of lottery winners get together and sort of commiserate because they can all identify with each other. They have this life-changing event together, or survivors of this accident or something. And I don't know if you've seen any of those. We have a life-changing event. We have an eternity-changing event that we share in common. That should change how we look at each other. How we come together. Jesus died for the church. He saved the community. And that's part of the definition of community. That's part of the definition of fellowship. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll look at verse 4. And there's some words that are koinonia and forms of koinonia that aren't translated fellowship. And it helps us understand what God intended for community and what He intends for community at Village. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And that word for participate there, that's koinonia. That's the word for fellowship. That's the word for community. And if you underline that, that's not what we normally think of as fellowship. But it's part of the definition. It's part of what God means by I want to pull a people for myself. That you may participate in the divine nature. That you share in something together. And as believers, we all participate in the divine nature. God is sanctifying us and drawing us close to Him and changing us into His likeness. We have that in common. We may be at different stages of that journey, but we have that in common. The most important thing we will ever do in life. Koinonia means to share in something. To have something in common. One of my pet peeves is the phrase, we don't have anything in common. I just don't relate with that group. We don't have anything in common. And my heart breaks because we have the most important thing in life in common. And that's the whole basis of the concept of community throughout the New Testament, is we have the saving work of Christ in common. And what that tells me is we're not talking about the things we have in common. The things we have in common aren't important to us. If we can't come together and at least talk about that. Yeah, maybe we all like different baseball teams. Maybe we all live in different places. Maybe we've had different backgrounds. But every one of us can talk about what God's doing in our life. Every one of us should have a story. Every one of us should have something to say to each other. If we're community as God intended it. Turn to 1 John 1. One of the key passages this morning, it was in your worship folder. The word for fellowship is used often and frequently, same thing, throughout 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, starting at verse 3. And as we read, catch the basis for fellowship. Catch the basis for community. We proclaim to you that what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So because we are participating in Christ, because we have that in common, we can have fellowship with each other. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship, koinonia, with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. And everywhere you see fellowship in there, it's using a form of this word. Fellowship with God. Community with God. And that creates community with each other. We have something in common. We have the most important thing in common. As we look at how that works itself out in our community, how does that work itself out in Village? A couple of things come to mind. One is that there is a mutuality of membership. There is a mutuality of people that are here. Literally, it means we need each other. I am not better than the next person. You are not better than the next person. If we start to think that, we've lost the concept of koinonia. We are all sons and daughters of the King. We are all equal before God. Joint heirs with Christ. And so we come together with a sense of interdependence on each other. We need each other. So in Christ, we are many who form one body in Romans 12:5, and each member belongs to all the others. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the members saying, you can't say, I don't need you. Paul goes on to describe that. We need each other. Another way that this works itself out that ties directly to our vision statement is because every one of us are adopted sons and daughters of the King, that means we're a family. And a couple weeks ago, we talked about redefining family. That it's not just our nuclear family. It's not just who we go home with and live under the same roof with. This is our family. And Jesus said, who is my mother and brother and sisters? Those that do the will of my Father. And He redefines family based on salvation in Jesus Christ, based on the work of the cross. And if we're to take that seriously, there's some things that have to come out of understanding that koinonia means a fellowship in Christ. It means we should put a priority on family. We should put a priority on church family. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ. We should put a priority on including people in our family. Because family is more than just the ideal family. Family is every person that's here. Family is the lonely that are here. Family is the people that don't have anyone or that are hurting. And if we're to understand what it means to be brothers and sisters in Christ, to have koinonia in Christ as we participate in Him, it means making a priority on the family, making sacrifices for the family, investing in the family. Sort of like Gilligan's Island. I loved that show. See where I'm going with this yet? Probably not. So maybe not everyone understands Gilligan's Island, but I think most do. In Gilligan's Island, you had a very diverse group of people, right? That's sort of what made the show funny. You have the millionaires, and you have the professor who was the first MacGyver that could do anything with coconuts and amazing. And you had Gilligan, who was Gilligan, and you had you had this diverse range of people. And an event happened in their life, a life-changing event, and they took this little cruise together, and they're stranded on an island for a really long time. How many seasons?
Several seasons.
And they even got off and got stranded again. But they came together. They ate together. They lived next to each other. They worked together. Because one of the points was it didn't really matter who had the money. It didn't matter who was the movie star. What mattered is they had this life-changing event together. We're Gilligan's Island. I'm not going to pick a Gilligan. But we've had a life-changing event together that should span everything else we bring to the table. The question is, will we allow it to? Will we focus on that? The first aspect of community is participating in Christ. What I'd like to do right now is just to put this into practice. I'd like us to stand for a moment. And if we're to be children of the King, one of the ways we do that is to worship together. And I'd like to just sing a couple songs, and I know that this goes back 10 or 15 years. I'd like to join hands. And if we can join hands across the aisle, because nothing else matters except that we are participating, we are koinonia with the King. So we'd like to sing We Fall Down and come as a body and fall down before the Lord God and proclaim holy, holy, holy. That's the first part of what koinonia means, what we just did. Participating in the work of Christ. The second idea that we see in the word koinonia throughout the New Testament is the word partnership. Partnership. We have a job to do. This speaks to what our purpose is together as a group. We have work to do. And that's the work of our Lord. In other Greek writings, Plato, for instance, used the word koinonia to represent a business partnership often. Luke talked about Peter with James and John in Luke 5, 9 and 10, and I'll read this to you. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And that word for partners? Koinonia. Same word that we use for community, that we use for fellowship. It means so much more than just fellowship. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." When we think of partnership, it speaks to the idea that we come together as a community and God has called out a people for Himself, not a person for Himself, but a people for Himself to accomplish His work, to accomplish what He would have us do. And so throughout the New Testament, we see times where that word is used for partnership. In 2 Corinthians 8:23, we read, "As for Titus, he is my partner," a form of the word koinonia. "He is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for brothers, they are representative of the churches and an honor to Christ." And so Titus is described as having this community and fellowship with Paul because he's a fellow worker. It's a representative for Christ. In Philippians 1, 3 through 5, and I think I put most of these references in your notes. You can look them up and underline the words or look at them. In Philippians 1, 3 through 5, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership, your koinonia in the gospel from the first day until now." And so it's not just getting together, it's about partnering together. Again, this is part of sharing in something. We've been called the people of God, and that should change things. We participate in that. And we've been called to share in the work of Christ together. That should be our goal. One of the implications of this is that at Village, as we look to establish community, as we look to nurture community and build a strong community as part of our vision statement, the best way to go about doing that is to do God's work together. Is to partner to do God's work together. If we want to build community in a group, it's not enough to just get together and have fun. Now that's good, that's part of it, but we should also be working together. Things like yesterday, the work day. That was koinonia. As we partnered together, as we scrubbed walls together, or took off wallpaper, or cleaned out in the gardens. That was koinonia, and that will do more for community than so much else. As we look out our window and say, how can we reach our neighborhood? How can we use Project Touch to touch every house in our neighborhood? And as we do that together, the byproduct, community. Koinonia. Because we're sharing in something together. When we look at the four purposes, community best happens when we practice outreach, spiritual growth, and ministry together. That's how it best happens. Part of our goal at Village, part of our vision at Village, is to build community, to build family, but families with a reason to be a family. Families with a purpose. And so in your worship folder, you've seen all kinds of opportunities for family. You've seen the workday yesterday. You see that service and coming together. You see the family night coming up, which is about enjoying each other's company. And that's part of fellowship. That's an important part of community. We've talked about Awana, which is, again, a chance to do something together, to partner together. We have all these opportunities to partner together, and that's how we will build a strong family that cares for each other and loves our Lord God. Koinonia in the New Testament is more than just a share in, though. It's more than just a participate in. It also means to share with someone. to share with someone. And the key words there are communion and contribution. Right out of the definition of koinonia, communion and contribution. And so the third aspect of community, of fellowship that we see, is that communion side. We join our hearts and lives. We join our hearts and lives. Literally, it means to share with. And it's more than just material things. That'll be point number four. But to share with, to share my life with someone, is communion with someone. To share the deepest spiritual parts of my heart with someone is communion with someone. And as we look at koinonia in the New Testament, that's the idea. That's part of the definition, is a relationship. Not just things we do, but a relationship. The activities we do at Village, it's not just the activity that builds the community, it's the relationships that happen at the activities. Tuesday nights, we do coffee house after reality check in the summer. It's not just because we like to play volleyball and get a lot of caffeine in our systems, although that's really neat, but it's about community and building relationships. It's about seeing people talking with each other all over the place. It's about students coming with deep matters of the heart and saying, can you help me with this, to leaders and to each other. That's why we do it. To share with. We join our hearts and our lives. The First John passage, if you're still there, we looked at it in terms of the basis of our koinonia, the basis of our community. But in verse 3 and 7, it's that same word that's used to describe our relationship with each other. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, that your hearts may be knit with ours, that there be a connection. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Koinonia, a connection, a melding of the hearts. It does involve sharing of ourselves spiritually. It does involve the question, how are you doing in your Christian walk? What has God taught you? Sometimes those are hard conversations to start. It's easy to talk about what happened at the Olympics or other things, but it's hard sometimes to go to the spiritual side. And it's not that every conversation can only be about those things, because life is shared too. But do we intentionally turn conversations to spiritual matters? Has God been doing enough in your life to talk about? It also means sharing our lives with each other, choosing to be authentic, choosing to be vulnerable, choosing to be humble. It's a communion together. Another verse that talks about what not to have communion with, but uses the same word, is in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship, koinonia, can light have with darkness? And he's speaking of a knitting of the heart. How can we share our heart and our lives with darkness when the very basis of koinonia, what we're in, the life of Christ, is not there? It's not referring to superficial relationships where we tolerate each other, where we coexist, where we have groups in the church where we just don't like. It's not what community is. It's not what koinonia is. Koinonia is working diligently and intentionally to get past all that. And to say, these are my brothers and sisters in Christ. As parents, it's what we try to get our kids to do. Love each other. Don't hit. Don't fight. Don't scream. It's what God wants from His kids. How does this work itself out? Just a couple of things there. It means caring for one another. And this is these are the things that we typically think of with fellowship. But it means caring for one another in the big events of life, the joys and hurts. Selflessly caring for one another by exercising the common courtesies. Saying please and thank you. Caring for one another by being considerate of each other's emotional and relational needs. It's not about my needs. And if I come trying to meet my needs to church, if I come to the community demanding that, I have violated community. It's about meeting other people's needs. Putting others before myself, as Philippians 2:4 says. Caring for one another requires time and commitment. It requires coming to some of the things that build community. Things like family night. Things like the showers and things like all the different things that we do as a body, as a family. Koinonia means being intentional about coming, putting a priority on the family. Caring for one another, honoring one another. We'll go through these quickly. Holding each other accountable and supporting each other. Supporting each other. Turn to Hebrews 10:23. Hebrews 10:33, excuse me. Hebrews 10:33. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. And the word for stood side by side is a form of koinonia again. It's a form of sharing together in the suffering in this case, of standing up and supporting each other. It works out in all those things. Caring, honoring, holding each other accountable, supporting, praying for each other. That's what koinonia and community mean. I love a particular farm story. It really is a farm story, but not from my past. Although some that have been on missions trip might think so. A rat was looking through a wall and saw a farmer and his wife open a package. He wondered what it contained. And as he watched them open it, he was looking intently, and it was a rat trap. The rat was a little bit discouraged at that point, a little bit concerned. And so he ran out of the house talking to the other animals, which is why you might recognize that from a missions trip. And he runs out and he's yelling to the other animals, we've got to watch out, we've got to watch out. And he runs to the chicken. He says, they got a rat trap, you've got to be careful. And the chicken's like, I'm not real worried. It's a rat trap. And so he runs to the pig in the next stall over and he says, there's a rat trap, what are we going to do about it? And the pig says, what are we going to do about it? I think it's your problem. So he runs to the cow. And he says, Mr. Cow, or whatever he calls a cow, there's a rat trap in the house. Thank you. Forget the farm story. And he goes to the cow and he says, there's a rat trap inside. We've got to be concerned. And the cow just laughs. Just laughs. Later that night, in the middle of the night, there's a snap as the trap is triggered. And the wife of the farmer goes out and there's no rat in the trap, but it's a poisonous snake. And as she gets close, it bites her. And they take her to the hospital and she goes to the emergency room, and they bring her back, and one of their instructions was, chicken soup would really help. So the farmer goes out and butchers the chicken and makes some chicken soup. It was his problem. And then a whole bunch of people come over to visit, and the farmer doesn't have enough food, so he goes out and takes out the pig. Cooks up some pork and feeds the people. Turns out to be a long-term sickness, and they have relatives that stay with them for a month. So they need some beef. And the cow contributes. Perhaps it wasn't just the rat's problem. Perhaps when we think about koinonia, when we think about community, when we think about caring for one another, each other's problems are our problems. That's part of the word. It means sharing with someone our lives. Living life together. Fourth and finally, the word koinonia does mean to share physical needs, to share materially. And that's the word contribution as part of the definition. And I'll just read some of these verses to you. Romans 12:13, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. The word for share there is a form of koinonia. Hebrews 13:16, do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Koinonia again. Romans 15:26 and 27, for Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution, a form of koinonia, to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. It's a sharing of material resources, and there's a ton more verses that use this form. And we don't think of that sometimes when we think of fellowship, when we think of community. But in the very definition and how it's used in Scripture, it means a meeting of each other's physical needs. Sometimes sacrificially. 2 Corinthians 8, 3 and 4 says, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing koinonia in this service to the saints. And Paul is talking about a poor church that insists on sharing, that insists on contributing. As I look at where we're at as a village, this is one of the areas that I am most proud of our church and our church family. A need just has to be expressed. And people rally. That's community. That's community. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I bet if we had a show of hands of everyone that has been helped by someone else in this church physically, materially, there would be more hands up than are down. Because that's part of who we are. And it's a good thing because that's part of community. That's part of what God intends as a vision for community. Koinonia. It means to share in something. We participate as sons and daughters of Christ. We partner together in the work of Christ. Koinonia means to share with someone, to share ourselves, to share our material needs. That's what God intends by community. And as we look forward as village, that should be our heart. Our heart should be to build a loving community here where we are building Christian positive relationships that are spurring us to outreach, to ministry, to spiritual growth. That's the kind of relationships we want to foster. To end, I end with a challenge. I would love to do some things starting next month that help contribute to community here at Village. But it may mean a little bit of sacrifice. So I hesitate to say this, don't throw anything. One of my goals and one of the ways that we can build community is by creating opportunities for community. And so I would like to present the idea of having more greeters on Sunday morning. But not in the foyer, or lobby, or whatever you want to call that. Not out there. What if a quarter of our congregation every Sunday morning just came at 9:15 and just came into the sanctuary and talked with whoever was in here, I know 15 minutes of sleep. That's hard. But what if that happened? We know that most guests with us, most friends that come, are here early. Most of them come and are looking for someone to talk to. What if we sacrificed 15 minutes of sleep on a Sunday morning to come at 9:15 and be the body? That's my challenge. It's a little thing. We're going to do a lot of other things with community, but that's the first step of what I'd like to try. And starting next month, I'd like to send out each week to a quarter of the congregation a postcard that says, "Congratulations, you're a greeter this morning. Come early and be the body." You'll be getting those in the mail. But we can have koinonia. We do have koinonia. We're committed to it. It's part of who we are. Let's continue with that. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, I praise you for this body of believers. I praise you for my family, for each other's family, for your sons and daughters. You are doing so many great things in lives here. And when we think of community, we think in so many ways as one of our strengths. And I pray that we would not rest because it's a strength, but we would move forward and invest in each other's lives and build a community that you desire. Thank you for your word, Lord God, and the richness and the depth of it. In your precious name.